Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm giving you part two to a message that I began last week on the stronghold of fear. One thing that most people, if not all people, deal with is being afraid at some time in their life, whether it be afraid of a sickness, be afraid of losing a loved one, afraid of the dark. I mean, you name it. The devil strives with fear. And he wants you to live in fear. And if you're not careful, fear can govern your life. Now, again, this morning, I'm not going to get through this. We should get through this in one more message. So this is part two to this message that I've entitled The Stronghold of Fear. This is my topical series that I've been preaching through on Satan's strongholds. We preached on many of them, like worry, bitterness, and all these different strongholds, and now we're focusing our stronghold on fear here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Again, the Word of God says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Let's pray together, and we'll give you part two to this. Father, we love you today. Help us, I pray. Forgive our sins. Help us to be clean. Help me as I preach today to not to add anything to your Word or take from it, but simply preach what you've given to us. We love you today. Help me now in Jesus' name. Amen. Fear has been defined as anxiety, worry, if you will, caused by real or possible danger, real or possible pain, etc. It's been identified as fright. It means to be afraid. It means to expect with misgiving or expect something bad to happen. It's been reported that a lady who's an advice columnist was at one time receiving 10,000 letters a month, if you can imagine, from people with all kinds of problems. Somebody asked this counselor, this columnist, if there was one common denominator among all of her correspondence. In other words, of all those 10,000 letters, was there anything that was common among among most of them, if not a majority of them? She said the greatest overriding theme of all the letters she read was fear. Fear of nearly everything imaginable, until the problem became, for countless readers, a fear of life itself. Do you realize you can become so afraid that you'd rather die? And I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God teaches that God has not given us the spirit of fear, which means if we live in fear, if we live being afraid, and everybody, in my opinion now, everybody at some time in their life has, is, or will experience this. I'm talking about something that will make you afraid and fear. For instance, in my study, I'm not about to try to pronounce these phobias. It would be hilarious if I tried to announce them. But right here, I'm just giving you what it means. This is all introduction. Most of this is repeat here, but there's the fear of drafts. There's the fear of the color purple. There's the fear of hairy people. Like I said, I'm in trouble there. But anyway, there's the fear of objects on the left side of the body. There's the fear of objects on the right side of the body. There's the fear of the northern lights. There's the fear of obscure meanings. There's the fear of being seated. There's the fear of standing. There's the fear of walking. There's the fear of teeth. There's the fear of riding in public. There's the fear of being afraid. Did you know that? That's a phobia. People are afraid of being afraid. There's the fear of dirt, there's the fear of water, there's the fear of darkness, there's the fear of high places, the fear of being buried alive, the fear of strangers, the fear of the dead, the fear of confined places, the fear of number 13, and on we can go. The devil strives to make you afraid. And today I want to continue with this thought. Now, whether your fear is real or imagined, I want you to listen to what one preacher said. The landmine of fear is a powerful weapon. It has the ability to prevent us from experiencing the blessings of God. However, the landmine of fear takes the concept to an entirely deeper level. It can paralyze us to such a degree that we lose our godly perspective concerning our circumstances. It clouds our vision for the future and leaves us struggling with doubt. When our lives are shrouded in fear, we cannot imagine the goodness that God has for us. This same preacher made this statement, and this is powerful. He said, we struggle with fear because we allow our imaginations to go to places that God never intended for us to visit. In this message, what we've done, and if you missed last week, I encourage you to go back and get it, but in this message on the stronghold of fear, we are highlighting six Bible stories. I gave them to you a little bit more in depth last week. Let me just mention them here. The report of the spies sent to the promised land where they were afraid of the giants. They were afraid of the great walled cities. And because of that, they were confined to a wilderness wandering of 40 years. Facing Goliath, number 2, in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Well, the Bible says that when they saw the giant down in the valley inviting them to come fight, they were afraid of him. Story number 3 was David's departure to Gath. And the Bible specifically says in 1 Samuel 21 that he was afraid of Saul. And because he was afraid of Saul, he left the will of God and went to Gaza. Gath. Story number 4 was the building of Nehemiah's wall. Well, the Bible says that while Nehemiah and the others were doing a mighty work for God, they were doing God's work. They were getting things accomplished for God. Then Sanballat and Tobiah and the other ones came trying to get them afraid for their life because they were trying to stop the progress on the building of the wall. Story number 5 was Peter walking on the water. Whenever the Lord was walking on the water and Peter said, if it's you, bid me come to you. And the Lord said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and he was walking. And the Bible says when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sink when he took his eyes off of Jesus. Story number 6 was the unexpected storm at sea when the Lord was asleep on the boat, if you remember. And he said, get on board, we're going to the other side. They should have known by his word that they were safe, everything was fine, because Jesus said, this boat is going there. But he fell asleep on the boat, and in the middle of it, an unexpected storm came up. You ever had one? You ever had something hit you when you least expected it? You ever had a storm come on you when you were not expecting it to happen? When you read this story, the Bible says that the ship was full and covered. When you see the word full, it means it couldn't take anymore. But when you see the word covered, it means everywhere they looked, up, round, side, back ways, down, everywhere was water. That's exactly how unexpected storms hit you. They come when you least expect it. They get you to the point where you're full and you're flooding and you feel like you can't take any more. But everywhere you look, there it is. And at that time, they went to the Lord and said, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, spoke to the sea, and then he turned to them and said, why are ye so fearful? In other words, why are you afraid? Where is your faith? And let me say this to you. What I'm doing in this message is I'm taking those 6 Bible stories and I'm drawing out lessons about fear. I've already given you 2 of them. First of all, fear disobeys God's command. We know from John 14, 1 and 27 that God He's commanded us not to fear. So when we fear, we are disobeying His command. I preached on that last week. I preached on this last week. Let me just touch it on the head. Fear disregards God's presence. We see that especially in the story of Peter walking on the water and the unexpected storm. Because in both cases, Jesus Christ was right there with them. But they disregarded His presence. And because they didn't pay attention to His presence among them, their heart began to be filled with fear. Third thing, this is where I pick up today. This is where part 2 begins today. If you want to hear that more in depth, go back and get last Sunday morning. Number three, we're just giving a commentary on fear taken from these six Bible stories. Number three, fear denies God's word. It denies God's word. Let me ask you a question. Can God lie, yes or no? Will God do what he says he will do? Can you trust what he says? The obvious answer to all these is yes, yes, yes. Can God lie? No. Will he do what he says? Yes. Can you trust what he says? Yes. So the obvious answer is, can he lie? No, that's obvious. Will he do what he says? Absolutely. Fear says just the opposite to every one of those questions. If you're living in fear, can God lie? Yes. Will God do what he says he'll do? I don't know. I don't think so. Can you trust God? No. That's what fear does. Fear denies, it denies what God has plainly said in his word. The fact is, fear causes one to lose sight that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now listen to these following verses. Let me give you several scripture references here. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Just listen to the word of God and see what God is saying. Isaiah 41 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. What great verses. Deuteronomy 31, 6 and 8. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Proverbs 3, 25 and 26. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Genesis 15, 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Hebrews 13, 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. 2 Kings 6, 14 through 16. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, the man of God is there. This servant is there. The enemy has sent his forces. And when the servant wakes up in the morning, the army, I'm talking about the enemy, is all over them. I mean, surrounding them everywhere. And that's all he could see. And he goes to the man of God and says, what are we going to do? Look at them all. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And he said, open his eyes, Lord. And he opened his eyes, and the whole hillside was covered with angels. And may I remind you that one angel was enough to take out over 100,000 of the enemy in one night. And if God has surrounded you with his angels, plural, I think you're doing just fine. Fear says, I don't believe that. Listen to these. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Psalm 118, 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Now think about that. Say, well, that can kill you. You might be right, but that just lets you see Jesus a little bit sooner. You say, Jody, what are you talking about? I'm saying this. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. Now, we all deal with this. We all have our fears. But in reality, there's nothing to fear, because if you save, God's on your side. And if God's on your side, I think He's big enough to take care of you. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from him, from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 89:18. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our king. Psalm 91:4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Psalm 119:114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Hebrews 13:5. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. May I say this to you under this third major point, that fear denies God's word. We see this especially as well in the story of the unexpected storm. I've already mentioned it. Let me mention it again. Jesus told the disciples, get on board this sheep, right here, this ship. We are going to the other side. That's what Jesus said. We are going to make it to the other side. We're going there. Now, did Jesus know about the storm that was going to hit them on the sea, yes or no? Absolutely. They didn't, but He did. It didn't take Him by surprise. But He had already promised them victory over that storm. They had His word. But when they doubted Him, and they doubted His care, and they went to Him and woke Him up and said, don't you care that we're perishing out here? What they were doing, they were denying what God plainly told them. Now, none of us are perfect. I'm probably the closest, no, I'm just kidding with you there, okay? That's a joke, all right? I need this. Because there are fears that try to sneak into my tent every day of my life. And if you'll be honest, there's probably fears trying to sneak into your life too. I'm talking about maybe a fear, what if your kid gets sick? You ever had that, parents? You ever had the fear of what if that happens? I call it the what if syndrome. And I'm telling you, what fear is, even though we deal with it, it doesn't make it right. And what I'm trying to do is expose it for what it is. And what it is a denial of God's word. That's what it is. Fear is a direct attack on the word of God. He has promised He will be with us. He has promised He will care for us. He has promised He will protect us. Now, this does not mean that bad things will never happen to God's people. God has never promised exemption from trouble. Did you hear what I just said? God has never promised exemption from trouble. But He has promised that He's big enough to take care of it, no matter what it may be. Now, His taking care of it may mean He takes you to heaven. But that's the ultimate healing. I'm not preaching today that nothing that you fear is going to ever hit you. I'm not preaching that at all. I'm preaching that when it does hit you, that God will bring this outline back to your mind. Do you trust my word? Do you trust my word? I'm bigger than that. And no matter if it's evil or good, good or wicked hitting you, you can trust my word and I'll carry you through this storm. That's what I'm preaching. He is our salvation. He is our light in life. We can trust Him with what He says. He's our strength. He's our song. The worst thing man can do to God's children only brings them closer to the presence of God. That's all it does. Whom should we fear when we have God Almighty as our daddy? By the way, have you ever thought to yourself, or maybe you've seen it, where somebody says, my daddy could whoop your daddy. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. My son could never say that to anybody about their daddy. My daddy, my daddy, my daddy. Oh, if my daddy were here. I tell you one thing. You take a young man who's struggling with bullies and they beat the daylights out of him. But if he had his daddy walking with him, he'd have a little bit more confidence. Because he knows his daddy will take care of him. You listening to me? My daddy owns it all. My father created it all. My father has the earth as his footstool. My father has the breath of every human being in his hands. My father has the stars named by name. My father loves me so much, he has counted and numbered every hair on my head. What that means is he not only knows how many you have, he knows which hair is which, friends. And if he knows your head of hair that well and he loves you that much, he's not going to let the devil get you, friends. Your daddy is the biggest thing this universe has ever known. And he loves you. He cares for you. He lives inside you. And he says, bring it on if you dare. The word of God is denied when we give in to fear. When we live in that fear, what we're telling God is, I don't believe what you said. Then number four. By the way, the answer to all this could be Wednesday night, next Sunday morning. I don't know yet. I'm not giving you the answer. That's the next point. Point number four, what else does fear do? Now think with me. I'm going towards a major thought here. See if you can figure it out. See if you can figure it out. Fear disobeys God's command. Fear disregards God's presence. Fear denies God's word. You getting it? Fear, number four, declines God's best. You say, what do you mean? We see this come out in the story of the evil report given by the spies. Remember the story of the spies that were sent into the promised land? 10 of them came back with an evil report. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we be able, let's go, now. But the 10 came back and said, we're not able. The sons of Anak live there. The giants are there. They were afraid. And because of this, get this, the Lord had already promised the Israelites the land. He had already promised it to them. Before he ever sent the spies over there, he said, I've given you the land. But when they saw the great walled cities, when they saw the giants that lived there, they were afraid and they discouraged the people from claiming all God had for them. You know the interesting thing of it is? God said it's a land that floweth with milk and honey. It's a land of great fruit. My wife wrote a song called it, What About the Grapes? And it goes back to this story. Because the Bible says the grapes were so big that it took two men, I'm talking about to hang one cluster in between them, and it took two men to carry the grapes. So they're talking about the giants over there in the Great Walled City. What about them giant grapes that are over there, friends? I was talking to one of my preacher friends. He gave me this thought, and I was sharing that with Becky. She wrote a song on it, but he applied it this way. He said, you know, life is full of troubles. And he said, you know, he said, I had my kids sitting right down here on the front row. And he said, as I was preaching, I was talking about the troubles of life. What about that? And what about this? And look at that place. And look at this over here. And look at this. And all of a sudden, he said, I looked at my children and grabbed my kid and put him up in my arm and said, what about the grapes, though, friends? What about the grapes? What about the blessings of God? What about the place that God said, I've made that for you? You can enjoy it now. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about the life of God's blessing. I'm talking about God's best for your life. I'm talking about the promised land that God has prepared that has milk and honey and grapes so big they're as big as me, which I know still means they're small. But anyway, I'm telling you, God has a place in this life that He wants you to be sipping back on milk and honey. He wants you to experience the blessings of God. May I say this to you? If you ever get there, There's giants trying to keep you out. There's great walled cities trying to keep you out. And you know what those giants are trying to do? They're trying to get you afraid. Afraid. Scared. Well, if I give my life all to God, I'm afraid He might send me to Timbuktu. I'm fearful if my children give their life to God, I'm afraid He might send them to a place that has Muslim extremists. We say this, but do we really mean it? If it's the will of God for our children to be a missionary in the center of Baghdad, they are safer there than they are in downtown Gray, Tennessee. Now, we say that. Do we believe that? Fear says, you better not. Because if you do, you don't know what God's going to do to you. Friends, do we not understand that what the devil tells us is a lie by now? And do we not understand that if the devil's fighting against it, then God has something great for me in store? And if God's telling you to do it, do it. You know what fear does? Says no to God's best. I'd rather wander in the wilderness for 40 years as have milk and honey and those grapes. You know what I've learned? Everybody wants the milk and honey. Everybody wants the grapes. They're just not willing to fight the giants to get to them. Amen, friends. Fear declines God's best. They were sentenced to a life of wilderness wandering outside of the best God had prepared for them, all because they were afraid. One preacher said, the golden hopes and dreams of the Israelites for land, for security, for a new beginning were ruined for 40 years because of the fear of 10 men. Fear keeps us from enjoying all God has for us. Fear keeps us from God's best for our lives. And this same preacher said, fields of milk and honey stood in wait, but they settled for less. Isn't that kind of disappointment in life far more to be feared than the risk of taking God at His word? Like the children of Israel, this lady who authors this thing tells a story. She said, the preacher said, boy, this really spoke to me. She said, a wise bird knows that a scarecrow is simply an advertisement. Let this sink in. It announces that there's some very juicy, delicious fruit to be had for picking. There are scarecrows in all the best gardens. And if I am wise, I too shall treat the scarecrow as though it were an invitation. Every giant in the way, which makes me feel like a grasshopper, is only a scarecrow beckoning me to God's richest blessings. Faith is a bird which loves to perch on scarecrows. Did you hear that? Faith is a bird that'll land on the scarecrow. Not afraid of it. Because He knows all of our fears are groundless. You know what our fears are? Scarecrows. Scarecrows. They're trying to keep you from something juicy God has. I want all God has for me. Do you or not, friends? Then you're going to have to live in victory over fear. I'll show you how to do that in a later service. Number five, fear detains God's people. What I mean by that, detain means to arrest them, to hold them in bondage. This is especially noticed in the story of the Israelites being afraid of Goliath in the valley. See, in that story, the giant standing almost 10 feet tall came out, if you remember, and challenged the Israelites. And he said this, choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Now, when Saul and the others heard this, they got afraid. The point here is this. The giant comes down in the valley, and he challenges them. He says, instead of everybody going at it, he says, I am the champion of this army. And back in this day, apparently the champions could duel with any other champion of any other army, and whichever champion won that battle, then their whole army became slaves to the one who won's army. So the giant comes out and says, send me a man, give me a champion. We're going to battle. If he kills me, we will serve you. But if I kill him, you will serve us. Saul and the army got afraid. And nobody went into that valley to fight him. Nobody. Until David comes along. But before David, nobody. Here's the point I'm trying to make. They were already slaves. They were already slaves. They were already slaves to that giant who is defying their God. They were already in bondage to the Philistines. As long as they refused to fight that giant, he was winning the battle. You see what I'm saying? And as long as he won the battle and nobody confronted him, then the Israelites, in fear, being afraid, walking in fear, they were detained by that giant. They were held in bondage to that giant. Can I say this to you? You cannot live in victory over fear by running from it. You have to confront it. One preacher said he read about a young truck driver whose route took him across the Chesapeake Bay Bridge every day. But the thought entered this truck driver's mind that he just might feel compelled to stop the truck, climb out, and leap from the bridge to his death. You ever had a crazy thought like that hit you? Tell you one thing, I'm going to stop this truck and just jump to my death, friends. There was no rational reason for this. He was being attacked. I'm talking about in his mind, a battle for his mind. But it held him in such fear for his life that it literally took a hold of him. Here's what I mean. He asked his wife to handcuff him to the steering wheel. Crazy. So he could be fully assured that his deepest fear wouldn't come true. Let me tell you what fear is. Just like that, it handcuffs you. It's not reasonable, and it keeps you from being as free as God wants you to be. Proverbs 29:25 says this, the fear of man bringeth a snare. You know what that word snare means? It means a trap, a bondage. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Let me give you a sixth and final thing here, then we're coming to a close for this service. The sixth thing is fear doubts God's care. It doubts God's care. There's no doubt that God loves and cares for his children. Amen, friends? You believe God loves you? Do you believe he cares for you? But the stronghold of fear doubts this. Now, this is seen clearly in the unexpected storm with their question, carest thou not that we perish? They were afraid and they started doubting that Jesus even cared for them. When their safety was threatened, the disciples went to Jesus and doubted his care. This is the question fear asked God today. Don't you care? Carest thou not? Now, that's a ridiculous question, but that's exactly what fear asks. Let me give you a Bible verse that's really helped me here to explain what I'm trying to say. 1 John 4:18, listen to this. There is no fear in love. Listen to this. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, what does that mean? It means if I ask you today, what's the opposite of love? Excuse me, what's the opposite of fear? No doubt somebody's thinking courage. Just be courageous. That is not biblical. The opposite of fear is not courage. The opposite of fear is love. Let me explain. Think of parents. Now, I'm dealing a little bit with this, Becky and I, with Jalen right now. Let's say that she wakes up and she's afraid of the dark. You ever had a child afraid of the dark? Yes? Okay. Imagine my baby girl asleep, and she wakes up and she's afraid of the dark. When her mom and I go in there, we don't say, "Now, Jalen, you just need more courage. You just need to be courageous. You just need to deal with it." No. You know what her mommy does? You know what I do, but especially her mommy? What we do as her family? We pick her up and put her in our lap, if you will. Getting a little big for that, but we hold her close to our chest and we say, "Jesus loves you, sweetie. Mommy and Daddy love you. Everything's going to be okay. Because as long as we're here, we're never going to let anything happen to you. Don't you understand that? Everybody know where I'm going." You know what God does when you're afraid? He comes in your room. You know what he does? He doesn't say, "You ought to be courageous." No. He reminds you how much he loves you. This is the same passage later on that says we love him because he first loved us. In context, you know what that verse is teaching? My understanding, if you are in his family, you are loved by God perfectly. And perfect love casts out fear, because the fear in context is talking about fear of judgment. But this fear applies to every other fear. The opposite of our fear is not trying to build up courage. The opposite of our fear is to jump up in the lap of your Heavenly Father and let him love on you a little while. Let him just remind you, "I love you. And I'm here for you. And don't you think you can trust me?" He doesn't condemn you. He loves on you. And you know what? You know what fear does? It looks God right in the face, who died. I'm talking about who sent his son to die for you. The one who loved you with a perfect love, perfect love. It looks him right in the face and says, "Don't you even care about me?" That's a slap in his face. Wouldn't you agree? When you ignore the sovereignty and the awesome providential care of God, you will end up struggling with fear. It's been said, God has brought us this far. He will bring us home. We all need to be reminded that God cares. That's enough to drive fears away. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, folks, I'm right here. I'm going to write in this area right here. I'm just about done. This is a Bible study. It's just a Bible study on fear. We're just looking at those six Bible stories and then drawing lessons about fear from those Bible stories. From those six Bible stories, we see that fear disobeys God's command, disregards God's presence, denies God's word, declines God's best, detains God's people, doubts God's care. When you look at Nehemiah, it tries to disrupt God's work. When you look at David, it tries to get you to desert God's will. And in all of this, if you'll notice, here's the main thought I'm trying to get you to see today. This is it. This is the one thought I want you to leave with. Fear is a direct attack on God. It is not an attack on you. It is not an attack on me. But it's an attack on him. Because if you'll notice, disobeys his commands. disregards His presence, denies His word, declines His best, detains His people, doubts His care, tries to disrupt His work, tries to desert His will. It's all Him. It's all God. It's all God. So as I close today, look here. Before I ever get to the answer, I know it's almost, it's terrible for a preacher to expose this and not give the answer. I know that, but unless you want to be here another 40 minutes, I don't think I'm going to get takers on that. I'm going to give you the answer to this, but let me paraphrase the answer. May I do this? Fear is an attack on God. So God is the answer to fear. Who do you think fear upsets? The one it attacks, friends. So God wants to deal with it. God wants to battle it. God is the only one that can give you victory over it. So since it's an attack on God, the answer comes depending on what you do with God. That's about as far as I'm going to go. It centers on the Lord. I'd like to ask you to bow your head with me. Close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I pray as we are trying to show the danger of living in fear, help this church and those precious people who are here to understand how fear is simply an attack on God. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Just as soon as they're ready, they can begin. May I say, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but may I say that there's one thing that the Bible says is a fearful thing. God says this is fearful. You know what it is? Fall into the hands of the living God. In context, what he means is if you're not a Christian, you should be afraid. If you're not a child of God, you should be fearful. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you have reason to be afraid. Is there one today you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a believer. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd like to make sure of that today. I know we didn't preach on salvation, but maybe God is dealing with your heart and saying, you need to be saved. You're in danger of falling into the hands of the living God. You're in danger of eternal fire. Is there one today you say, pray for me? Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Put your hand back down. God bless you. You can put your hand right back down. God bless you. Anybody else? Put it up. Put it right back down. Anybody at all? Anybody else? If you raise your hand to that question in just a moment, we're going to give an invitation. It means what it sounds like. It's inviting you. And we'll have a lady take a Bible and share with you the gospel. But you need to choose to accept Christ as your Savior. We're going to invite you to come. We'll have a lady with you. May God help you. Maybe today say, Jody, while you're doing this Bible study on fear, this Bible study on this stronghold, you say, God is speaking to me. I need this. This doesn't mean that fear is winning the battle, but it means that you recognize it's battling against you. And have you say, Jody, God is speaking to me in this Bible study on fear. I need this because fear is one of my giants. Do you understand what I'm asking? Everybody has a giant. Could be lust with some people, could be doubt with other people, but it could be fear with some people here. And you say, Jody, fear is one of my giants. I know fear is trying to keep me from God's best. I see that. I understand that. And this is something I deal with. God is speaking to me. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? How many of you are like that? You say, that's me. Fear is one of my strongholds. Put it up big and high. Would you do that? Well, that's a lot of you. A lot of you. Raise your hand. You can put your hand down, but I want to speak directly to you just a moment. If you raise your hand to that question, first of all, you need to thank God that He revealed it to you. Secondly, you need to try to be here every service if you can, because I don't know when I'm going to give you the answer. It won't be tonight because I'm not speaking. Our missionary is, but it could be Wednesday. It could be Sunday morning. I don't know. Why don't you come and pray? Ask God to help you. It's an attack on God. And He wants you to give it to Him so He can win the battle. So I'm going to invite you to come, please. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this and use it. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Some have already responded. As Brother Gary sings, you come, you come. If you need to be sure of your salvation, come. You come now, as Brother Gary sings.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a storm.
I'm giving them a few minutes. This world's a scary place. Amen. Amen or not, friends? Sure it is. This world's a scary place. There's things going on that if you're not careful, it's going to scare you. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad when, even when we're dealing with fear, that the Lord just doesn't kick us to the side. He tenderly takes us and holds us. Says, let me just remind you, I'm still here. I'm still here. We can trust God, friends. By the way, if you're saved, you're headed to a place nothing can even remotely make you afraid anymore. No more fears. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you like to today for God to take fear out of your heart? You never deal with it again. Wouldn't that be great? That's probably not going to happen. Because it's flesh. And you're going to battle it. You're going to struggle with it. But it doesn't mean you have to live in bondage to it. You see the difference? You can live in victory. You may be taken down and get up. So it may happen again. You find yourself fearing and afraid. Get back up again. Be here when I preach on this next message. Trust it'll help you. Can I give you something to take home to help you here? There's one fear that alleviates all other fears. And that's the fear of God. Amen. You fear God, there's nothing else to fear. Lord, help us with this. This is Joseph and Beatrice. If they'll stand, God bless them. This makes my day. We're so thrilled to have you here today. Some of our soul winners, Brother Brad and one other man was there and had the privilege in their home. Now, you had the two interns with you. So there's three of them. Joseph and Beatrice allowed Brother Brad to take his Bible out and share the gospel. Both of them in their home trusted Jesus Christ. Is that true? Yes. Tell me again where they're from. Johnson City. They're from Ghana. From Ghana. We're thrilled you're here. I know there's a lot of people, but you're among friends. And we love you here. Aren't you glad they got saved, friends? Say amen. Isn't that great? We're thrilled for you. Thank you for making it public. That's a great thing. You should never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. I appreciate that. I hope many of you will come by and shake their hand. Now, men, don't hug her, okay? Just shake her hand and shake his hand and say, we are glad you're here. You glad they're here? Amen, friends. We're thrilled to have them. Thrilled to have them. Appreciate Brother Brad staying with them right there. Amen. Be back tonight. No doubt about it. We've got one of our faithful missionaries, Ethan Champion, will be speaking. And after the service, it's on. Ice cream, desserts. And if you signed up or didn't sign up, but raised your hand to bring a dessert, please try to remember to do that, okay? Josh Free, coming back home here. Amen. Been away for a little while. He's a member at Indian Springs Baptist Church, but he feels the Lord moving him back here. He knows the Lord. You've been scripturally baptized. Started the discipleship program this morning. That's a blessing. And he wants to become a member of this church. This would be by letter from the Indian Springs Baptist Church, Church of Like Faith. So on doctrine, all these kind of things. What's the pleasure of the church that we accept him? Brother Steve, Brother Trent, all in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry, it's official. It's official. You're welcome back here, okay? All right, they keep coming. I like it. Amen. This is Nikita Stapleton. Nikita, if you'll stand there, Miss Judy's standing with you. And you are coming today and you're accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that true? So you got saved here at the altar today is what you're saying. That is outstanding. We are thrilled about that. Have you all are happy for us. Say a big amen. Hey, don't take for granted that this place is seeing people come to Jesus Christ. Don't take for granted. May I say this to you? Let's make sure we stay the way we need to be, which we are now, unified, going forward. Oh, how the devil would want to get a foothold in this church. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. We're thrilled for you. If she would like to join this church by baptism, we'll talk to you about that. I like to meet with adults first so that way you know what you're joining, okay? We're thrilled for you. God bless you. I'm going to ask you to stay there. Ladies, if you'll come by and shake her hand. Ladies, if you want to hug on her, that's fine. But men, don't hug on her now, okay? Amen. Very good. I'm going to ask Brother Jess Phipps, sir, if you don't mind, to dismiss us in prayer. Please come this way now, folks, if you can, to shake these folks' hands. Thank you.